morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer, family, and friends. It's so good to be back together as we go into this first Sunday of February. Wow, time is definitely pushing on. We also celebrate those in the African-American history who have really shaped Christianity. If you go to our website, we have some links there. And I was just amazed just going through so many people that really helped our faith, encouraged our faith. So check that out as we just think about how God has used so many people in our history. I'm excited because today we're going into a new series, and Lord just touched my heart just thinking about our history and where we are right now. We're going to be dealing with the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm just excited about this journey that the Lord is going to take us on, and just focusing on those scriptures, Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and then it talks about the Spirit hovering over that void and created the beauty of God's creation. Just the beautiful scriptures. Today, I want to just give a few announcements. I want to thank you so much for just connecting on ebcnc.com. God has just blessed us tremendously. There's so many things that are going on our website. Also, we want to remind you to download the app, and make sure you log on because you can get notifications. So when you notifications come, you'll see a little number on your screen, whether you have an iPhone or Android, and you click on it, and then you go to your inbox. And that inbox, it looks like a little vent up to the left-hand side. Click on that, and you'll see inbox, and there you can see the notifications. And we are really blessed to be able to have that also. So please, please, please tell your family and friends, download the app to stay connected with us. Our next thing I want to really focus on is our giving scripture. This is something we've taught for years and years and years. This is really the crux. It sums up, gives us an understanding of what our giving is about. That 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And that beautiful picture, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." And let's not forget about this 2 Corinthians 9:9. It says, "As is it written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." The Lord is just using us in so many wonderful ways. I want to thank you for your giving, whether you're connecting through our Tithely app or now our very own church app. It connects directly to it, or sending it into our secured mailbox. However you're connecting in, thank you. Thank you for all you do. Let us pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Thank you for the saints, the body, Lord, how you're using us in this season, how we've been able to reach out to those who've been going through. We've been able to encourage those who have been sick, Lord. We've been able to pray together. Lord, thank you for how you use us in the giving process, whether it be financially or texting someone or calling someone. We thank you. Thank you for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about getting into this series. So after this next selection, I'll be back soon. Aren't you glad to be saved? I am. I am so glad. Well, let's go ahead and get in the section of scripture today. But before we go any further, I just want to go on a word of prayer to welcome the Holy Spirit as we begin to deal with this study on God's powerful Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, you're just so good. Just so good. I pray for those who don't know you, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised him from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, and I just ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us as we go on this journey to understand your personality, understand how you interact with men. So, Lord, I ask you to make these scriptures so easy to be understood that even a child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for your anointing, God, your anointing that changes us from the inside out, that people will know that we are saved. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we get into this section today, we're dealing with a new study on the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the focus scriptures that we'll just kind of be lifting up is that Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And that's just miraculous. But that second verse says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And that's going to be our journey as we go through the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, I must tell you, there is so much about the Holy Spirit throughout the scriptures. I've taught on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, and went in detail with that. But we're going to look at more of the personality of the Holy Spirit as we traverse through the Old Testament scriptures and make our way into the New Testament scriptures. I want to look at our focus scripture for today for this particular teaching. It's 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the 6th verse. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the 6th verse. It reads, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. I want to read that again. 1 Samuel 10:6. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. I want to speak from a subject today. Has a change come over you? Has a change come over you? Now, before we go any further, I want to lift up a big word today, and this is going to be our study for the next weeks or so. It's called pneumatology. Pneumatology. For those who have been in seminaries, this is very familiar. For those who haven't, it's just a Greek word that's broken down that we can understand. Pneuma means breath, and that tology is the logos part. And when you put it together, you have the study of the Holy Spirit, or the breath of God, or the knowledge of God. And that's what we're going to be going through, looking at the Holy Spirit. Again, as we focus in, we're definitely not going to be able to cover everything about the Holy Spirit. But I pray as the Spirit leads us, you'll be able to get a beautiful picture of how God interacts with men. The time frame is 1040 BC, and as we're in this point of time, so much is happening. In the book of Samuel, we find out that Samuel is a prophet that has been raised up. As he's been raised up, he's being used by God in an amazing way, because the sons of Eli, they had actually sinned over and over again. And so God brings in this child, Samuel. He grows up and he becomes the leader of Israel, in a sense, using a prophetic word. And we're going to talk about that a little later. But it's important to note that the Israelites started to look around and they decided, we won't a king, just like everybody else had a king. They weren't satisfied with being led by God's presence, by God's power, by using the prophet, but they wanted physical form that would lead them into their battles. Samuel was heartbroken over this and begins to pray to God, and God says, don't worry, they're not just rejecting you, they're actually rejecting me. But God, in his grace and mercy, he gives Israel a king. God actually chooses this king. He handpicks him. His name is Saul. Saul comes from the Benjamite family. He's the son of Kish. And as we get closer to our scripture that we're going to start on today, Saul is sent out because his father Kish has lost donkeys. And he's searching for donkeys. But this is a divine intervention, for Samuel has gotten the word of the Lord that Saul is the one that's going to be the king. And as he's searching for the donkeys, he actually comes in an intersection with Samuel the prophet. Let's pick up 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" Our first point is consecrated. Consecrated. Now, as you think about this, Samuel comes in contact with Saul, and there's an anointing process. There is a consecration process. Now, I do want to bring out that there was no power in the oil. The oil was just a symbol of what God was up to. Notice Moses also in the book of Leviticus chapter 8, around that 10th verse. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. Notice that consecration. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And so that oil is just a symbol to means to be set apart, to be used in a special way. I do want to bring this out, and as we're dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit, as a change come over you, I want you to think about that this is all by God's grace. Saul did not choose God, but God chose him. And they have it. Saul didn't even know that he was going to be a king. God went to the Benjamite family, Saul in there, and now he puts things in order by using Samuel to anoint him. Remember Psalms 33, still dealing with that consecration, that first verse. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments." Now, it's amazing the differences in our churches. Even myself, I use oil and I kind of little dab will do you. But in the Old Testament, when they were talking about that Saul was actually consecrated, or a priest was consecrated, or Aaron was anointed, they actually poured oil on him. And the picture is so vivid in here that it would actually come down into his beard. This was some serious covering at this point, and it was to denote, again, that separation, or another level that we're going to get to, an inviting of the Holy Spirit. Yes, an invitation or inviting of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes when you see this oil of consecration, the Holy Spirit is soon to come. The same consecration to holiness is actually seen in James 5:14 in the New Testament. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Yes, that same consecration, separation, and also welcoming in the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 10:2. "When you have departed from me today, you will find 2 men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the Terebinth tree of Tabor. There 3 men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying 3 young goats, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands." I love this. So Saul, remember, he doesn't really know what's going on. Samuel has the word from God. Saul is anointed. He's just a young man, scared, trying to just keep himself together. I do want to mention, though, Saul was taller than anyone. He was a good-looking man. So when God chose him, man, it was everything that Israel could desire in a king. And so at this point, I want you to think about Saul being used in an amazing way, but not understanding that. Now, as you think about this whole process, him stepping into it, this is the point: preparation. God could have just came in and anointing him, and then the Holy Spirit all at one time. But there's a preparation period, and I really want you to get this and understand. Things have to be in place for the Holy Spirit to come, be invited into man's life. I ask you, what preparation are you at in your life? If you are saved, we have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what did God have to do to prepare you to receive the Holy Spirit? If you don't know him and God is pinching your heart, and then what is God doing right now to prepare you to receive God's anointing? Or maybe you have God's anointing, as said before, but you want more of him. You want to go to another level. I want to take you to another scripture. Remember the early church, the New Testament church. They were filled with God's Spirit. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. God was moving in an amazing way. They were speaking with power, but there came a point as they were going through tribulation that they wanted more of God. In Acts 4:31, remember that? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'm talking about a change has come over you. That is the same thing that happens when we want more of God and we pray for him, even though those who are believers, we have the Spirit of God in here. God said, I can take it up a level, and I can encourage you, and I can make you more bold in the Spirit. And this is the season and the time, I believe, that the Holy Spirit wants to interact with us more. We need to become more sensitive to his movement. Notice his next section of scripture, 1 Samuel 10:5. It says, after that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Here's another point. A definite change. Has a change come over you? You got to ask that question for yourself. But I can tell you within this point, there is a definite change. Within the Old Testament, and so many theologians have dealt with this and studied it, but it seemed to indicate, and we're going to actually get to that on next Sunday, Lord willing, that the Spirit would sit upon kings. The Spirit would sit upon its prophets at times. But there were times when the Spirit would lift off of them. With the New Testament believer, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and he's our comforter. He's our keeper. But in the Old Testament, we were looking to Jesus, or they were looking to Jesus. So in this whole stepping through this process, God is revealing himself. Now notice within that scripture, that last part, it says, we'll prophesy with them and be turned into another man. This prophecy has been dealt with over and over throughout the scriptures, and many people have different interpretation. The reason is, in the Hebrew, it actually has difference. When the prophets would prophesy, it could be foretelling. It could be telling about the future, but also prophesying could be inspired inspiration, instruction, that God would use the prophet to actually teach others. Sometimes this was inspired where they would have tambourines or music. We're going to find out within the scriptures, and this would help them to flow better, to actually hear the voice of the Lord. And so this is actually a precursor to the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it gives us this whole process of what it means to have the Spirit of God in a definite change. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, listen to me, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has a change come over you? The question again is, have you had a definite change in your life? Do people see something that's different about you? Because that's how you know the personality of the Holy Spirit has come inside of you and he's transforming you to be more like him. Do people see a difference in your life? Saints, I want to get this across, and those who may not have accepted Jesus Christ, there should be a difference when we look at the saints, when we look at the church, there should be a difference in us from the world. We should not be acting just like the world. We should not be getting into the same arguments and the same issues and conundrums that the world is getting in, because we are led of the Holy Spirit. There should be a difference. That doesn't say that we're perfect, but it just means when people look at our lives, there's a difference because we're being changed to be more like him. Are there any hallelujahs out there? We're in a season in time, really, the pressure is being put on, and we're finding out who is real, who really has the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, and we're finding out those who say they have the Holy Spirit, they act in a certain way, but it's definitely not godly. And now God is bringing out the true saints. Notice this next verse, 1 Samuel 10:7. Has a change come over you? And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. So the prophet Samuel's talking to Saul, giving him all these directions, the things, the preparation, the things that are going to have to take place, has anointed him with oil. But he brings out in the scripture, he says, I want you to do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Here's our point. God is in charge. God is in charge. Hallelujah. I'll say it to you. God is in charge. So when the Holy Spirit is introduced to you, in you, God takes over. He is in control. But the question is, how does that do? Some people believe when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you lose control, that you have no cognitive, your cognitive ability becomes impaired. But it's not like that. Notice when the scripture, I'm going to show you something. Saul is walking through all of these things. So he has control of himself, and the Spirit is going to be come upon him, and we're going to see some things happen, but he's still going to be used in an amazing way, and he's aware of the things that are going on. Now, in when God is in charge of us, there becomes a responsibility. Yeah, when he dwells in us and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, then that means that there's power within us. That's what the Holy Spirit, that dunamis power, it talks about the Holy Spirit. I remember in Spider-Man, one of my favorite movies, there's a part within there, and Uncle Ben actually says this to Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And those who say that they are saved, and those who say that we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we've got to realize that there's great power on the inside of us. Yes, there's some things that we need to do. We need to pray more. We need to be in God's word. God can use us to speak into people's lives, to actually edify them and change things. And it's bigger than us. It's about the power of God. Notice in Luke 12:48, it says, but he did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with you. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You see that New Testament, that thought pattern, when God gives us something that's amazing, more is required of us. As Christians, guess what? In this season, more is required of us. As the darkness comes upon the land, we are the light. More is required of us because God has given us such a special gift. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. The Holy Spirit wants to use us in such magnanimous ways if we'll just yield ourselves to him. Notice this, 1 Samuel 10:8. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, this is huge. I want you to get this point because we want to spend a little time on this. This point is learning how to wait. Learning how to wait. Now, this is significant, especially in Saul's life, being anointed to be the king. Samuel's not just saying this to be saying this. He is actually being inspired. He's prophesying. He's prophesying into Saul's life because this is going to become very important later on within the kingship of Saul. In our lives, we got to learn more that when the Holy Spirit is in us and he's overcome us and we're saved, we're truly saved. I'm not talking about just going to a building or a church, but when we truly get saved, we learn how to wait on God. We learn how to listen because our flesh often wants to run out ahead. I remember with our dog and teaching him and training him, we had to teach him how to heal because as a German Shepherd, he just wanted to lead us. He wanted to go out and we followed. He was so strong and big, he would pull on us, and we had to teach him, hey, no, you're not leading us. We are leading you. And so in that process, we have to learn by the aid of the Holy Spirit that God leads us. Remember Psalms 27, 13, and 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yeah, we got to wait on him. Has a change come over you? The Holy Spirit wants to encompass us. Now I gave a little precursor. King Saul, in his second year, he didn't learn the lesson of waiting. Remember this 7-day waiting period. And I just want to take a little time and read a portion of scripture to you because this is important to learn how to wait. 1 Samuel 13:8. Then he waited 7 days. This is in the second year of his reign. He's been out to battle. The Philistines are around, and they were supposed to wait for Samuel. Yeah, the prophet. They were supposed to wait just as he's supposed to wait 7 days. This same thing, he's supposed to wait for 7 days. So he waits 7 days, but he's getting impatient. All he has to do is just be calm according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. We got to learn how to wait. When a change comes over our life, we have to wait on the leading of God first. Look at 1 Samuel 13:13, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Has a change come over you? There is a responsibility that as Christians, as we are say that we are being led of the Lord, we've got to learn to put God first. Saints of God, we need to examine our lives. If we say that we are Christian, then there should be evidence that we're putting God first. How's your prayer time? How's your reading of the scripture time? How is your just walking in God? Are we exalting other things in our lives? And this is a challenging season that we're forced to really look at ourselves as we've been quarantined and social distancing and masks. We've been forced to look at ourselves. And saints of God, for some, it's been a sad reality that God has not been leading. God has not been first. And the waiting process, we haven't learned how to way. And again, this was a downfall of Saul, that he did not get to the point of understanding waiting on the Holy Spirit. But let's look at this last section of scripture. I want to show you something. 1 Samuel 10:9. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Isn't that amazing? As the Holy Spirit came, he's doing something, a definite change. 1 Samuel 10:12. Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore, it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Here's our last point. You can't keep him to yourself. Now notice within that, him is the Holy Spirit. So many people say that they have the Holy Spirit, but when you have the Holy Spirit, there is going to be evidence. There is going to be power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And if you can hide the Holy Spirit, I would put forth, you got to question yourself, do you have the Holy Spirit? Because when you got the Holy Spirit on the inside, I'm not talking about just wearing crosses or having big Bibles or quoting scriptures or even speaking to, that's what I'm not talking about. I'm talking about living a powerful life where people know that there's an anointing around you, there's an anointing over you, and God is on the inside of you. As we pull all this together today, I want you to realize that it is a wonderful gift for the Holy Spirit to meet man and interact with man. But as we follow through with King Saul, we're going to find out he's going to fail miserably, and God is actually going to remove the Holy Spirit. Come back on next time. We're going to talk about that. But I want you to know, where Saul would fail as a king, there's going to be a better king. Yeah, David's going to come. He's going to be a man after God's own heart. We're going to see other kings like Jeroboam that will come. And we're going to see other kings that will try to grow in God, but many will go against God. But I want you to know, there is a better king, better than all of them. His name is Jesus. Any hallelujahs? I'm so glad that God saw fit that Saul was going to fail him, and David was going to fail him, and Jeroboam was going to fail him, and Rehoboam was going to fail him. But I'm so glad that he sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth. Any hallelujahs out there? He taught like none other, and but he doesn't stop right there. He heals the sick and he raises the dead, but he also is betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He goes down to Via Dolorosa, and we find him sacrificing himself on the cross. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean sacrificing himself?" Please understand that Jesus, he allowed himself, he submitted himself to the cross for us, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I'm talking about a change has come over us, all because of Jesus Christ carrying our sins and bearing our griefs on that cross of Calvary, dying for us on that cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but he gets up with all power and glory. And I'm so glad to let you know, because of that, there ought to be some hallelujahs. Because of that, we can accept him with our heart. We can believe with everything that's within us, and the Holy Spirit will come on the inside of us, and a true change will come over us. Are there any amens? Somebody say, "Pastor, I know what you're talking about, because when Jesus came into my life, the Holy Spirit came and began to transform, and now we're living a powerful life, not because we're so great and grand, but all because of God's presence." The question is, has a change truly come over you? Tremaine Hawkins, she sang that song, "What a Change Has Come Over Us." A change has transformed us. Can the world see that change? Saints of God, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit interacts with us. And as we continue on this journey, we're going to see, as the Holy Spirit interacts with man, what happens in their lives. I can tell you, oh, what a beautiful experience. In the Old Testament, we're going to look over and over and see that. But please, in the New Testament, God has said, "I give you my Holy Spirit. He will dwell with you. He will be the comforter. He will be your keeper. He will be the power." Oh, what a mighty God we serve. If you don't know him today, if you have never experienced the Holy Spirit, I want you today to decide once and for all, God, I need you. The only way that you can experience God's Spirit is to accept Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. And so as we accept Jesus Christ as the true and living God, the Holy Spirit introduces himself into our lives. He makes the change. In essence, we can't get ourselves together. But thank God for his powerful Spirit. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I pray today that you receive that gift from him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this lesson today as we follow the journey of Saul's life, King Saul's life, and Samuel and that prophetic gift, but most important, the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that a change comes over us, that we become more like you. Holy Spirit, forgive us for the times that we've taken you for granted. We've taken your leadership for granted. Lord, help your church to be strong in this season. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah. Welcome to our table again for communion on this first Sunday. God has just done so much for us, just keeping us alive. So many are going through now. Some of our church family have contracted COVID and they're just fighting for their next breath or really fatigued and tired. So as we take communion today, we want to think about them and their family. We want to think about the bereaved families that are still missing their loved ones, and also this whole global pandemic that people are really stressing out and getting depressed and going through. But we thank God for this communion. And as we take this communion, it's for healing. But first, before we go any further, if there is anything that you're holding against anybody before we even started this portion, went around the table just making sure everybody was good and we had apologies, and that's important. We want to clear our hearts and our minds so that we can go before the Lord, because as we're going to find out in the scriptures, that we could actually eat this to our detriment because we don't realize how powerful this is in connection with God. So we want to make sure that our hearts are right, our minds are focused on Him. So I'm going to ask Sarah if she would read a portion of the scripture, I think 1 Corinthians 11:23, and just go through that whole process, letting us know as Paul the Apostle was led the communion process, and also the blessings and the curses that can come if we don't have a focus on Jesus. Sarah.
For I see from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ in eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment.
We thank Sarah for reading the scripture for us. And now we're going to just be able to focus in on the Lord more. I'm going to ask Joy if she pray over the bread. I'm going to ask Benjamin a prayer over the juice.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this communion. Please bless this bread as we take it in remembrance of your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name.
Father, I pray that you'll please just bless this juice and you'll just make it so that we'll remember you while we're taking it. In Jesus' name.
As we think about Christ and going up into the upper room with the disciples, he picks up the bread and he breaks it. I've already passed out portions of the bread as we partake of the Lord's body together. Also, he picks up the goblet of wine, and there he, at that time, they would actually share it and pass it around, and we pour it in. So I'm going to ask everyone to get a portion of the juice as we think about Christ's blood that was shed for us. So as often as we think about the Lord and his broken body and what he did for us on Calvary, let us eat together. As we think about him on the cross of Calvary and the blood flowing down for us, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us drink together. And after they had eaten and drunk, and they actually left that place and they went to a section of the garden where they, the mountain in the area where they began to sing hymns. So this time I'm going to ask someone to lead us in a hymn.
I'm going to stay right under the blood. I'm going to stay right under the blood. I'm going to stay right under the blood. Hallelujah, and the devil can't give me no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm, no harm, no harm. Hallelujah, and the devil can't give me no harm.
We're going to stay right under the blood. Thank you so much for just having communion with our family today as we think about Jesus. You be blessed.